Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The moral impurity on the internet is destroying a whole generation. Do we abandon a technology we can't live without? Or do we risk exposure to sexual images while trying to engage the world we live in? Today, guidance from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk about discernment, discipline, and discipleship.
I want you to imagine for a few moments that thieves were to come into your house and steal your children. They break down the door and come through the window, smash it. You'd call the police and you'd be very desperate. And if those kids were ever found again, you'd make sure that the door is double bolted and the windows unbreakable glass. But what if I were to tell you that thieves are in your home and they are stealing the soul of your child, but they are leaving the body there so that you have to feed the child and clothe the child, but his soul, his heart, belongs to someone or something else. And those thieves happen to be right in your home and you've welcomed them into your home. They may even be in your child's bedroom. Television set, the internet, the Xbox, the iPhone, the iPad, they may all already be there, stealing your child's soul. Let's speak for a moment about video games. Many of them are violent, where you have to kill people. There's even a game that recreates the assassination of President Kennedy, so you virtually get to be where Lee Harvey Oswald was to see whether you can do as well as he did in blowing the president away. And yet there are many people who allow their kids to have violent video games as if God has no opinion about this. When it says so clearly in the Psalms, God says, "The one who loves violence, my soul hates." God's got an opinion about violence. And we know about the statistics: violent video games, violent, angry children. It's been documented in so many ways. Not just violence, but occultism. One day, a member of the pastoral staff and I were called to an apartment here in the area where there was a child, about 14, obsessed with this particular video game, and he couldn't sit down. Even when we were there, we said, "Please sit on the couch." He'd sit for about 5 seconds, hop up again, pace the floor. What his parents didn't know is that he undoubtedly had been demonized, because he was into not just Dungeons and Dragons and all that, far worse than that, the occult. Demonization of our young people, frustrated, angry, hyperactive because of video games. I could tell you other stories, but I must hurry on. So here we are. Now, it's not as if I'm saying that there are no good video games. I mentioned earlier, in an earlier message, that our own grandchildren play video games, hopefully helpful ones. There are those that, you know, train children how to solve puzzles and how to do things and even how to build and what have you. But I've discovered in my reading that even some of those are very addictive until the child begins to live in this unreal world, disconnected from parents and eventually disconnected from God. So they need to be supervised in a very careful way. And what do we say about the kind of music on the internet, MTV, pornography? I was going to tell you that 50% of all teens have accessed pornography. And then I read a more recent statistic that said it was 80%. All of this is happening in our homes. Cell phones. Some kids sleep with their cell phones on so that they can get text messages or others can connect with them. What a wonderful day here in the city of Chicago. I know it's a little cold here and we have people watching from all over the world, but we're enjoying worshiping Jesus. And while we are here worshiping the Lord God, there are people who are meeting, who are plotting to steal the heart of your children and to lead them into addiction. Because it is the addicts that are going to pay the bills. It's the addicts that are going to make the money. I've read how these people are well-funded, they've got lots of money, and they have from cradle to grave plans, oftentimes through computers and through television, to capture the heart of your child in one stage after another after another. How else are they going to make their billions of dollars? They're there plotting to get your child. Believe me, Hefner wants your 10-year-old boy to be addicted so that his kingdom can continue. And that's the world in which we live. 14-year-old, true story. He's brought up on the mission field, but his parents get a computer, and he begins to go off into, you know, all of the adult websites, does the same when they come home. And then he's found molesting a girl, a 6-year-old girl in the neighborhood. Parents have to leave the mission field the whole bit. You say, oh, a bad boy. Are you kidding me? A good boy. Good boy. Brought up in a Christian home, prayed for, probably dedicated. You can't get any better than that. But that's what good boys do because of seductive images that are in their minds and they can't get away from them. That's how powerful the media of sight really is. And so that's what we are looking at today. Now, lest you think that I'm bashing technology so that nobody has to write me again and tell me I'm bashing technology, I want to read. It was about a week ago I met a man who attends here, but he couldn't attend last time because he was on his way to Hong Kong on Saturday. So I told him, I said, watch in the hotel, watch the service. And he did last time. He talks about how grateful he is to God for the internet. What a blessing. What occurred to me, he said, was I could have chosen to listen to this message, or I could have just as easily turned on the TV and ordered an X-rated movie. It really comes down to where my heart is. And what you said the week before, that we can choose to love God more than sin. I'm thankful for the internet and media, but I must constantly be on guard, as a wise man. I must constantly be on guard to use it for his kingdom, for good in my work, and in so doing to choose to love the Lord more than I love to sin. So yes, of course, the media, technology has its tremendous benefits. And by the way, welcome to all those who are listening around the world today as they've tuned in to our worship service. In fact, let's give them a hand, shall we? Now, this happens to be the fifth in a series of messages titled, Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Next time, I'm going to have to talk about addictions. We're going to look into the mind of an addict. And I'm even going to tell you what I think a wife should tell her husband if her husband is into pornography. That will be the last message in the series. And then I'll have an assignment for some of you that'll really be pretty radical. But if you love God, you might be able to do it. The passage of scripture for today is 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to speak on separation. Now, those of us who grew up in the church as young people years and years ago, we aren't millennials anymore, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Those of us who grew up, we used to always hear about separation. And then my generation came along and we said, you know, it's just petty rules. You just have rules and people think they're righteous because they keep the rules. So separation has fallen out of vogue. And of course, it's true that there's a kind of separation that is really negative, that gives the impression that you're righteous because you've kept the rules. Rules are able to keep you from certain sins, but they cannot produce righteousness. I like to tell the story that about 5 miles north of here, there's a whole area of the city. I forget the boundaries, but about 100,000 inhabitants, none of whom watch X-rated movies, none of whom smoke, none of whom drink. And that's true. It's just north here. You can find it on the map. It's called the Rose Hill Cemetery. And their negativity does not produce life, if you notice carefully. But with that background, you'll notice it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, three areas in which we must separate. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Fellowship has light with darkness, Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Let's stop there for a moment. The whole idea of yoking comes from the Old Testament, where the Bible says that you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together because they are unequally yoked. Now, Paul doesn't say it here, but in the other letters of Corinth, the 1 Corinthians, he helps us to understand that this is certainly applicable to marriage. Now, if you're married to an unbeliever, you should stay married to him, but Paul would say that believers should only marry believers. Don't be unequally yoked. He's talking about a commitment that actually indicates our own binding relationship with a person. Clearly, Paul isn't saying that we shouldn't have fellowship with unbelievers. That was the Pharisees' problem. They refused to mingle with sinners and the brokenness of the world, and we see that error. So that's not what Paul is talking about. Of course we should mingle with the people of the world. What he's talking about is binding relationships. Another one that Paul speaks about is Christians should not bind themselves to unbelieving people in court and then take another believer and bring him before a judge to court. But Paul is saying, do not have these binding relationships that are going to mislead you, and eventually, you know, the yoke is going to be unbearable.
And you know, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Sometimes then the yoke does become unbearable. We have plenty of stories to confirm that. Let me ask you this question. Are you blessed as a result of the ministry of Running to Win? Did you know that during this COVID experience, a new experience for all of us, more people are listening to radio than ever? Aren't you glad that radio is not something that can be quarantined? You know, the ministry of Running to Win continues because of people like you, and I want to thank you in advance for standing with us with your gifts and your prayers. If you would like to do that regularly, here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com. Offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button. Yes, Endurance Partners do stand with us regularly, and we thank God for them. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. Become an Endurance Partner. Join the Running to Win family. Become a part of all that God is doing through this ministry as we continue to serve the Lord in trying times. Go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or if you prefer, 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Discernment, Discipline, and Discipleship. Another message on Guard Your Heart, Sexual Purity in a Media Culture. Next time, more on our need for separation from the world. This six-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.